Well, thank you, Will, and good morning to all of you. And welcome to probably the best sermon title you've ever encountered in your life, at least one that just really, really looks encouraging. Doctrine of Sanctification, Discouragement, and Difficulty. Oh, yeah, Tim, I want to hear this one, because there's nothing better that I like than being discouraged and having a difficult time, right? So, not the greatest sermon title, but it's actually a very, very realistic sermon title, although it might come across as a somewhat illogical title if you have a good memory and remember what we talked about last week. Because if you remember, last week we talked about the doctrine of salvation, and for those of you with really, really good memories, which would probably be those of you 12 and below, right? We said that salvation is all about God giving us, it starts with a P, peace and purpose, right? Peace and purpose. So salvation brings us peace with God and purpose in our lives to be conformed to the image of God. So what's this thing with discouragement and difficulty, Tim? I mean, sanctification, you told us, was a part of salvation. It's the day-to-day working out of our salvation. Well, what's this discouragement and difficulty? Well, what it is reality, right? Have any of you, even if you have peace from God, the war with God is done, you're at peace, and you have purpose being more like Christ, have any of you still experienced discouragement in your life? Have some of you experienced it this week? Yeah. What about difficulty? Any difficulty in your life? Yeah, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you don't have difficulty or discouragement. So what we're going to talk about today is difficulty and discouragement in our Christian walk, in our day-by-day sanctification. And what we're going to see today is that Satan, the archenemy of your soul, wants to make your discouragement deeper, and he wants to make your difficulty harder through incorrectly defining sanctification. Now, we don't usually think of that. We don't really usually think how important definitions are. But if we have a misunderstanding of sanctification, our discouragement will be deeper. You know how we're going to see in just a moment Satan defines sanctification? We're going to see he defines it incorrectly in two fundamental ways. Number one, he'll say, sanctification is a spiritual feeling of euphoria. And that's a lie. And that will discourage us. And then number two, he's going to say, and sanctification on top of that is the complete avoidance, the dodging of all difficulty in your life. And that also is a lie. And that will make things even more difficult for you. So we're going to look at today both of these lies and look at the truth behind them so that we won't find our discouragement to be as deep or our difficulty as hard. Next slide, Micah. Let's start off with discouragement. So I remember once a pastor told me, and he'd heard it from someone else. He said, you know what, Tim? If the devil can't keep you from heaven, he'll at least try to make the journey as miserable as possible. Many of you heard that? Yeah. How does the devil make our Christian walk miserable? Well, here's how he does it. He strikes at what he knows is most important to us, the relationship we have with God, the day by day growing more like God. He strikes at that by lying about what sanctification is. And here's what he says sanctification is. Your Christian walk is a feeling. It's a feeling of spiritual euphoria. Kids, do you know what euphoria is? No, you don't. It means excitement, wonder, being jazzed about something. That's euphoria. And Satan says, you know what? Sanctification is feeling wonderful and jazzed all the time about your spiritual life. And that's a lie. That's an out and out lie. But you know what? We buy it because our society thinks that feelings are everything. Doesn't our society? I mean, something's good if it makes us feel good, right? Something's bad if it makes us feel bad. If something's true, we'll feel good about it. If something's not true, we won't feel good. Feelings are everything in our society, but that's totally wrong. Because feelings are what? Transitory. Feelings are unstable. Do any of you husbands have wives whose feelings are somewhat unstable? Oh, really? Surprise, surprise. Didn't see that one coming. And vice versa, though, right? Our feelings are not flat and stable. So if we say our sanctification is all about our feelings, guess what? We are going to become discouraged because our feelings go up and down our entire lives. Have you ever heard of Keith Green, an old Christian singer? Good, Lisa has, at least one. Yeah. Listen to his feelings in this song, which he wrote as he was an older Christian. He said, Lord, the feelings are not the same. I guess I'm older. I guess I've changed. Lord, I remember that special way I vowed to serve you when it was brand new. But like Peter, I can't even watch and pray 1 hour with you, and I bet I could deny you too. Do you hear his discouragement? Do you hear his discouraged feeling? Have you felt like that before as well? Yes, we have. And we will get discouraged when we say that our sanctification is equivalent to feelings of spiritual euphoria. Sanctification is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. How many of you like road trips? I've asked this one before. Yeah, quite a few of you. Good. You know, I love road trips. I went on multiple ones with my daughter across the country last year. And the first one we went to Florida and back. And day one, leaving Chico, was Chico to Phoenix. It's a 13-hour trip. We left early in the morning. And as we got onto the freeway, I was filled with what, kids? Euphoria. Yeah. I was feeling really, really, really good. In fact, when I grew up and when the kids were younger, we'd always start a road trip with, as soon as we got onto the freeway, we'd just all yell out top of our lungs, road trip! And we loved it. I mean, that's euphoric. That's exciting. That's wonderful. And that's exactly how I felt when I started off this 13-hour day with Lydia. 15 hours later, we're not yet to Phoenix. In fact, we're just slightly outside of Los Angeles with multiple hours more to go till we get to Phoenix. Because we hit in LA something that they refer to down there as traffic. So we hit some traffic. And I've now been behind the wheel for 15 hours. And I still have multiple more hours to go to Phoenix. Am I still feeling euphoric? No, I'm not. But is our car at this point on I-10 driving at 75 miles an hour toward Phoenix and making progress? Yes, it is. Why? Because the progress of our trip is not dependent on my up or down feelings. It's depending on how good of an engine I have in our car, right? And was our engine still working? Thankfully, since it's a rental car, it was. It was working, and we got there. Well, to apply this, I hope you see that sanctification is not being driven by our feelings. It's being driven by the Holy Spirit. Remember last week our definition of sanctification? It's the work, not of us, but of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. He's the motor. And is the Holy Spirit a capable, competent, reliable motor who will get us to our ultimate destination, our ultimate glorification in heaven? Yes, He is. And we need to rely on that and rest in that. So, sanctification is not a feeling of euphoria. Instead, it's a grace-filled work of the Holy Spirit. A grace-filled work of the Holy Spirit. Let's real quickly flip the analogy. No longer talk about the Holy Spirit as an engine or a motor of the car, which He is in our spiritual journey. But Jesus actually uses a different analogy. Do you know what Jesus said the Holy Spirit is in your sanctification? He said the Holy Spirit is your lawyer. Now, how's that encouraging? Well, here's what Jesus said in John 15. I will send the helper, the comforter, the advocate from the Father who will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit is referred here, the Greek word that Jesus uses is paraclete. And you know what paraclete means? It's used of a lawyer. It's used of an advocate. It is, para means to come alongside. It's someone who comes alongside you, but also directs you. So if you've ever been in a court case, if you're a defendant, are you sometimes punch drunk and not sure what's going on? You're confused. You're scared. You don't know what to expect. And then a lawyer, who lawyers usually get really, really bad jokes about them, and there are some scummy lawyers, but this lawyer, the Holy Spirit, is a good lawyer, a very good lawyer. And He comes along, and what does a really good lawyer do? Really good lawyer says, hey, you know what? Don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. I understand the system. Don't worry. I know what needs to be done. I'm going to be your voice. I'm going to be your leader. I'm going to guide and direct you. Here's what Tim Keller writes about this. He said, in court, you disappear into your lawyer. If you personally stammer, but your lawyer is eloquent, what do you look like in court? Eloquent. If you're ignorant, but your lawyer is brilliant, what do you look like in court? Brilliant. In fact, in some cases, you may not even be required to speak or even to personally appear in court. Your lawyer, your advocate, appears in your place. So what do you look like in court? You look like whatever your advocate looks like. Are you discouraged that you don't look like a Christian? You don't feel like a Christian? Well, you know what? You're not in charge of that. Your advocate, your lawyer, the Holy Spirit is in charge of that. And to the devil, when the devil accuses you, you ain't a Christian, you don't got it. Can the Holy Spirit respond to him and say, oh no, yeah, he might not have it, but I have him. And that's sanctification because it's the grace-filled work of the Holy Spirit. Can you rest in that, and can you see how that can help you deal with discouragement? I hope so. But number two, and in closing, we've talked discouragement. Let's talk difficulty. Next slide. Let's talk difficulty. Because we all have difficulty in life, and Satan, again, misdefines sanctification to make our difficulty more dark and more deep. And here's his logic. Here's what he says. He says, number one, you know what, Christians? If you're really a Christian, life for you should not be difficult. If you're really a Christian, life for you shouldn't be difficult. You see, if God is with you, and if you have faith, you won't have any difficulties. There will be no difficulties. So, if you're having some difficulties in your life, guess what? God must not be with you. There must not be a God who loves you and is concerned about you. You must not be a Christian. So you know what? Why don't you just come back to the soft, sweet, warm embrace of sin? Why don't you do that? Have you felt that before in your lives? What's Satan doing? He is defining your day-to-day walk in the Lord. He's defining your sanctification as the continuous dodging of difficulty. The continuous dodging of difficulty. But that's not sanctification. That's a lie. You in this world will always have difficulty. Though you're at peace with God and though you have purpose in your life, you will always have difficulty. Why? One reason, two locations. Why? What's the one reason you will always, I will always have difficulty? Starts with an S, ends with an N. Good. Sin. 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 And the two locations are outside and inside. This world is cursed. It's fallen. It's hurting. There's difficulty around because of sin. There's despair. There's darkness. There's dejection. All because of sin. And even if you have, I don't know, let's say new lungs. Let's say you have new lungs. You have new, brand new lungs that are working really great, and you walk into what? A cloud of mustard gas. Are you going to have some difficulty? Yeah, you are. Well, guess what? Guess what society is? One big cloud of mustard gas. Okay? So even if we're new, even if we're new creations in Christ, we are surrounded by mustard gas. And is that going to pose some difficulties for us? Yes, absolutely, it will. But number two, we not only have sin outside us, which gives us difficulty, but do we still have sin inside us? Well, you might say, I'm not sure, Tim. You know, because, I mean, we were talking about regeneration last week, and didn't you say regeneration is the impartation of the divine life, God giving us a new heart? Doesn't 2 Corinthians say, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation? Old things are passed away. I mean, doesn't Galatians say, I've been crucified with Christ, I'm now a new me? Isn't that what salvation is? What do you mean? I have sin still in me? Well, yeah, we do. I like how Neander, interesting name, August Neander, how he explains this. He says, the Christian is crucified with Christ, but the crucified old man does not die at once. Thankfully, we've probably never seen anybody crucified in real life. But if you've studied it, as I have, on my spare moments, it's, as we all know, it's a horrible thing, a horrible thing. And did you know that crucifixion does not equal immediate death? Do you all know that? Do you know on average how long it takes for a crucified person to die? A minimum of 6 hours. A minimum of 6 hours. And there are multiple cases in the Roman world of it taking a person up to 4 days to die on the cross. Horrible. So a person is crucified, but they're not yet dead. And that's the case, says Neander, with our flesh, our old man, our old sinful self. We were crucified with Christ, and we do have a new heart within us, given to us from God. But is that old man still hanging on the cross and fighting us for all he's worth? Absolutely. And so what that means is that you and I have what going on within us? A war, right? We have a war going on. And are wars difficult? Yes, they are. We have a day-to-day war, and just because we're being sanctified, just because we're being saved, does not mean we won't have difficulty outside and inside us. No, we have this war going on, and we will until the day of our glorification. Let's conclude by looking at this war so you can view it in perspective. Final slide, please, Micah. Three things I want to tell you about this war. It's tough, but the strategy for fighting it in your Christian walk is actually very simple. And then finally, it has a good ending, so it's hopeful. Number one, it's tough. Here's what the writer to Hebrews says we are supposed to be doing in this war. He says we are to resist unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Is that tough? Absolutely. Have you fought against an enemy to the point of having to shed your blood? If you've done that, does that mean that enemy is pretty strong? Yeah, though your old man has been mortally wounded, crucified, he is still fighting you for all he's worth. And fighting back is going to be tough. So don't be surprised when day in, day out, you have internal struggles and difficulties. And sin, sometimes it wins a little battle, but then you fight back and you just go up, down. That's reality. And it doesn't mean that you're not being sanctified. It's just reality. So he asks, well, Tim, how do I deal with that? I mean, do I just not wake up every morning and just say, oh, God, take me home because I just can't take this anymore? Well, no, God gives you a very simple strategy, a super simple strategy. Here's how to deal with sin. It's a two-part strategy. You pray to the Holy Spirit to help you, number one, hate sin, and number two, love Jesus. You see, the strategy against sin starts in our hearts. So many times we view this battle to be, okay, I got to wake up in the morning, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to, and it's all these actions, 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 and those always fail because we're weak. It starts in the heart. Because Christianity is all about our hearts being renewed. And so you pray every morning, Lord, help me to hate sin. I love what Thomas Chalmers said about sin. He said, our sins gave sharpness to the nails of Christ's cross and pointed every thorn. Have you been tempted to sin this last week? Yeah. Will you be tempted to sin this upcoming week? Yeah. Before you give in to fight the war, think, you know what? This sin I really want to commit, you know what it's doing? It's picking up a nail, and it's hammering that nail into the flesh of Christ. Y'all seen the film The Passion of the Christ? Some of you? You probably heard Mel Gibson when he did the close-up of the soldier nailing the nail into Christ. Whose hand did he put in there? His own. His own, because he said, yep, it's my hands that have done this to Jesus. Will that make you hate sin and not want to commit it? Should. The number two, the second part of the strategy is to love Jesus. Ask for the Spirit's help to love Jesus. Here's what the old Puritan Thomas Chalmers says. He said, as we get air out of a glass by pouring water in, so we can drive sin out only by bringing Christ in. So do you every morning pray to the Holy Spirit, help me to abide in Christ. Bring him in today. I want to be consumed with love for Jesus today. That will help you win the battle and overcome the difficulty. And then finally, encourage yourself that this is a hopeful war. You know what? If you're in Christ, if the Holy Spirit is leading you in sanctification, you aren't going to lose this war. It will be lifelong, but you ain't gonna lose it. Here's what James Stewart, an old Scottish pastor, said. When March 21st, first day of spring comes, we say, The back of winter's broken. Will there still be a few frosty mornings? Absolutely, but the progress will be towards heat. The coming of summer is sure. In germ, the summer is already here. What did we say last week salvation is? Regeneration, sanctification, which we're in the middle of, and the ultimate summer of our souls, glorification. And that's a certain, sure thing. You will win. You will destroy the body of death when you are fully made, fully conformed to the image of Christ via glorification in heaven. Is that a hopeful thought? Is that what we should be encouraging ourselves with every single day? Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we're your children, but we are filled with discouragement, and we do have many difficulties. Oh God, help us to trust in you, to see past those discouragements, to fight on in the midst of difficulties. And we thank you that it's not up to us. But you yourself are our advocate. You yourself are our helper. Help us this week to hate sin and love Jesus. In his name, amen.